Welcome to The Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions to get your popcorn and drinks. For your entertainment, this is The Clean Slate Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Clean Slate Podcast. I'm Carson Phillips here with D. Garza D.
What up?
What's your middle name again? Andrew.
Oh, my gosh.
Daniel Andrew Garza. This is the last episode of our Monster Madness. It's sad.
Woohoo! Yeah, but next
week I watched the majority of these movies in one night.
Yep.
So this actually went by really fast for me. It's kind of sad to see it go. We love our shirts. You guys might not have them just yet, but they're on their way. They'll be here. They're going to be amazing. If you do have them, you already know they're amazing. And if you're feeling left out, well, maybe you should
buy one
next time.
Yep.
Yeah. I bet you're going to be jealous. And yes, thank you guys for your support with the shirts. It really, really means a lot. I know times aren't the greatest economically.
Right. But so your support
since
is
you buy
what matters.
A shirt is amazing. We love you guys. We want to keep doing this for as long as we can. And you buying shirts helps us do that.
So anyway, guys, we're going to finish out with a bang. Two of, I think, the better movies of these of this series. We have Colossal today and Missing Link. So I think they're pretty interesting takes on monster movies. It's a little bit different than what we're used to. But let's just start off with Colossal and have some fun, guys. Here is the log line. Gloria is an out-of-work party girl forced to leave her life in New York City and move back home when reports surface that a giant creature is destroying Seoul. She gradually comes to the realization that she is somehow connected to this phenomenon.
There's a fun fact.
Okay.
That Toho, the owners of Godzilla, were upset at first.
And oh, so really?
They actually had to change it from Japan to Korea because of that. There was like some legality. I don't know exactly like what they saw that upset them or like what exactly was going on, but there was I'm assuming it was in pre-production that there were some issues, and I guess there was a use of an unauthorized usage of Godzilla's image at one point.
Oh wow.
And stills from like a Godzilla movie. So there was, I don't know the full story there. I couldn't really find too much on it.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's kind of interesting that Mr. Godzilla and family were like, you can't use our stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
something notable here is that this movie, the leading lady is Anne Hathaway. And her.
We really want her to be our cat.
Yes. And the supporting actor, Jason Sudeikis. So we got two pretty well-known strong characters or actors here. And kind of just like this.
And Tim Blake Nelson.
Okay.
I love him.
Sure.
I want him to listen.
Yeah.
I want him to listen to the podcast.
Would we consider this an indie movie, or is this backed by a pretty big studio?
I mean, it was made by Neon, and in my opinion, they're comparable to A24.
Okay.
So
a little bit indie.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's true indie,
right?
But like as far as like style and substance go, I would say it's definitely that direction.
Okay, cool. So do you want to give them a little rundown of this movie? You want me to take it?
I can do it. Yeah, so this plot is like fairly simple once you figure out what's going on, but there's this girl. She's been suffering from, I believe, alcohol addiction for some time.
Yeah.
It caused her current relationship to fall apart. She gets kicked out. So she goes back home where she ends up working at a bar that's owned by a childhood friend, and she kind of creates this other group of friends while there. And in between this, her addiction continues to get worse working at a bar.
Of course.
And while she's drinking, she goes out to this park, walks around. She doesn't really hurt anybody, or so she thinks, until one morning she seems to see the similarities of her walking patterns to this monster that apparently has been manifesting in Korea and destroying buildings and killing people. And so she figures it out, and she also later on figures out that Oscar, her friend who offered her this bar job, has a monster of his own, which is a giant robot, and things kind of just go from there. And it's a very interesting look at addiction and friendship and abusive relationships.
I think identity also plays a big part.
There's a lot, because at first I thought it was just an analogy for like alcoholism, but it's much more than
that. Yeah, it goes a lot deeper.
Really smart movie, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, nice. I'm happy you enjoyed it. This was just an off the cuff movie for me years ago. I was like, I remember sitting at home and seeing, I was like in a big Anne Hathaway kick, and I was like, what is this colossal movie? Let me check it out. And I checked it out and I loved it. I thought it was funny. And it's just different than a lot of other monster movies that you kind of see, especially there being connections to human control in a way.
You know, what's funny is Alyssa's a big fan of this movie.
Oh, nice.
As well. But for some reason, so this movie was available to stream on Hulu for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I always meant to watch it and I never did. And in my head, the plot was very different than what this is. And so, okay. This is really stupid. I was waiting for this to be the movie the whole time.
Okay.
Have you seen the Scooby-Doo episode where Shaggy is like tricked into a Godzilla suit and he destroys like a miniature city and he thinks he's becoming a giant monster the whole movie?
No.
Like he thinks he's turning into Godzilla and they're like in Japan in the movie?
No, I didn't.
So that is what I thought this movie was. I thought it was going to be like the Scooby-Doo episode where Shaggy becomes a monster, but he's actually just being forced to dress up as a monster.
Well, there you go. It's more and like I Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why that's what I thought the whole time. I was like, when does she like go to Japan and like get in the costume?
Right.
Like I was thinking that the whole time at first. Oh, and I was like, God. This makes no sense.
So stupid. Okay, well, on that note, let's go into likes and dislikes. Starting off with dislikes, I think. On the second time around watching this, it wasn't as funny as I remembered. It actually gets pretty deep and dark at times to where it's a little concerning. You're like, oh, wow. Like, it takes a left turn into realism pretty quickly. And
like, right away.
And you're like, oh, God. There is I would say there's a funny section in it that makes it the comedy, and maybe just the comedy of Anne Hathaway, kind of like a comedy of errors with her sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. There's some like moments where she's like it might not be a comedy film per se, but like the things that is going on around them are kind of funny.
Yeah, and then I would say the switch up with Jason Sudeikis. You find him kind of being the savior character of like helping Anne Hathaway get back on her feet and really just trying to be a good friend to her again. He really has some like dark skeletons in his closet. And once those kind of unravel, I don't know. I don't know if I really loved it. Of like,
it felt abrupt. To be honest, like he's honestly not even focused on that much as a character.
Exactly. At first.
And then it's all.
And then he becomes the main antagonist.
So I feel like, yeah, that could have been maybe a little bit written better. And they do hint at it, like when she is talking to his friend and she's like kind of into him and he gets kind of like protective of her for some reason.
Yeah.
Is a little weird because he just wants to hook up with her, like clearly. So there's a little bit of weirdness there. But yeah, that switch is jarring. Like, it doesn't quite work for me. Like, that's probably my only dislike, to be honest, though.
Yeah, and I will say the last dislike in this for me is Jason, or the plot point of going back and finding out the reason why they both have monsters at this specific playground.
Oh, like the flashback?
Yeah.
That didn't work either. Yeah. The flashback doesn't work.
It doesn't. It
honestly, I thought they were going to find like an open bottle of like beer or something.
Yeah, that would have actually been really interesting. Like their like let's say crutches of a childhood is what created the monster inside of them. That would have been something that would have been interesting to explore, but they kind of, I don't know, it just wasn't there for me. And then the last thing I meant,
it's close though. It's really close.
Yeah. And the last thing for me is her going to Seoul and fighting, spoiler alert, but like she goes to Seoul and she becomes the monster in America now. That was just like,
I like it.
I liked it, but it wasn't, I don't know.
I just kind of wish she ate him.
Yeah, instead of chucking him states ways.
Yeah, like, I don't know. But yeah, there's a couple things, but like overall, I thought the performances are really good in this. I think the story has all these layers that are really interesting.
Yep.
That really get you thinking. So even if you don't completely love the movie and you wish it was a more traditional kaiju film, I think what it's doing is it's taking these monster movies and using that as a way to explore alcoholism, problematic relationships, and all that stuff in a way that is a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah.
And
more relatable too.
I enjoy that. Yeah, exactly. So I really liked that, and I think this is a cool use of the genre that we haven't seen before.
Yeah. Cool. Overall likes, I thought Anne Hathaway was great in this. I thought the actual CGI for the monsters was pretty well done. Like, they used minimalistic parts of it to make it not so annoying. And then I would say it is funny still. There are still some funny moments in it that make it worth the watch. But just, yeah, what you kind of said, the exploration of just using these monsters to go deeper in people's, like, dark realms that maybe they don't want to explore. Like, it is just really interesting to me. And it's something that I think is still relatively untouched in that category.
I agree. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, so scare factor.
Not scary.
For me. Not scary.
I actually thought the monster was very cute. I kept telling Alyssa, like, before it became, like, dark, I was like, man, I wish I had my own little monster and I could, like, trample cities with. And then I was like, oh, it's alcoholism. Well, and then when the robot shows up, I'm like, oh, Alyssa, you're the robot and I'm the monster. And no, we're not. Doesn't work.
Wait, so did she see this for the first time when you watched it?
No, she's watched it before. Oh, okay. She's a fan of it.
Oh, nice.
And so I just kept so she was reading while I was watching, and I just kept, like, doing this, and I'm sure the whole time she's thinking, like, he has no idea what's going on. Like, cuz then it makes that turn, like, right away. Yeah. I was like, "Oh,
never mind."
Yeah, take all that back.
Yeah, so guys, go check this movie out. I think I would probably still give it about a 7.5 out of 10. It's on Tubi, and you can rent it elsewhere. You can rent it on Plex as well. But let's move on. Tubi, underrated.
Tubi's like underrated. Like,
yeah. Okay, so moving on to Missing Link. Mr. Link recruits explorer Sir Lionel Frost to help find his long-lost relatives in the fabled Valley Shangri-La. Along with the adventurer Adelina Fortnite, this trio of explorers travels the world to help their new friend.
Do we think Bigfoot's out there?
I want him to be out there, but I think it's fake.
Have you seen this recent Colorado footage from like 4 months ago?
No, I haven't.
It's not compelling at all, but I do like it.
Okay.
Anyways, should we start a conspiracy podcast, guys? Just us talking about Bigfoot?
We should. We really should.
But yeah, this movie, it's very fun. It is produced by Leica. They do a lot of these stop motion films. And as you guys know, I've been trying to get Daniel to watch more and more of these. So this comes with the same people who did like Coraline and Paranorman, all those guys. Oh, what? Did you know it's owned by Phil Knight?
What is?
This production company.
No.
The founder of Nike. He's...
Oh, nice.
He's... he owns this. And the president of this production company is his son. Anyways, that's a random...
No, but this...
What are we doing?
This movie... I'm sorry. This movie has a really stacked cast. Getting back on board. This movie has Hugh Jackman, it's got Zach Galifianakis, it's got Stephen Fry, it has Timothy Olyphant, David Walliams. So, decent characters here, or actors. And, why don't you give them a breakdown, Carson, of Missing Link?
Yeah, so Sir Lionel is kind of an investigator of mysterious creatures.
Yep.
But he's not very good at it. Mm-hmm. And he wants to get accepted by this, what is it, like the Society of Great Men or something? So he wants to get accepted by this, I don't remember what it's called, but this group of people, And he wants to do that by finding like a mythical creature. And one thing leads to another where he meets somebody who goes by Mr. Link, as in the missing link. And this is where it kind of flips things on its head, because you expect it to be Bigfoot, but he's actually like kind of a nice guy. Like, he's kind of like a wise, smart, like he wears clothes at one point, yeah. Like eventually. Like he's very sophisticated, which is kind of like the opposite of what a monster typically is. Mm-hmm. And they basically set out on this journey of finding his relatives, his Yeti relatives. So it's this whole journey, and it's also like motivated by Lionel trying to be this great man, but at the same time there's this other guy. I don't, what's the villain's name? It's like Lord something. Do you have it?
Mr. Lemuel Lint? Or no, Lord Piggott Doonsby.
Yeah, he's like Dunsby. A jerk, and he's like kind of insane, but he's also like in charge of the Society of Great Men, and he's like coming after them. So there's that whole aspect as well. But yeah, they're trying to get to the Yeti Temple, and
yeah,
it's like this kind of, it's like an adventure film is the best way to put it. But that's yeah. Like the main.
And actually, when you think about it, adventure films are probably some of my favorite styles of movies. So like War of the Millers,
they're fun.
War of the Worlds is kind of a adventure film, traveling through certain different things. Missing Link,
Mummy.
I haven't
the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies are kind of like low key.
Oh, I haven't seen
Indiana
this.
Jones.
Indiana Jones, yes. So I once I Minnesota found out that this was going to be like, let's go on an adventure. I mean, I was immediately on board. First of all, the animation of it is so good. I love it. I think I am sold on stop motion and this style of design for movies, and it's just like. It's just good. I think for me, it's because the details are so specific in these types of movies that like you have to think that people are spending that time making this by hand and or by computer generated images. But still, like it's the imagery is beautiful. And overall, I mean, I loved Zach Galifianakis' character. I think he plays it really well. I think. For the most part, it's such a positive story, especially on exploring like identity, like who are you, who like what makes you you, and what almost like validates you as a person, right? Because Mr. Link is wanting to be validated by his ancestors and be like finding people of his own, and then also you have Hugh Jackman's character who's just wanting to be accepted by the people surrounding him. I think it's just a really positive outlook on people who are looking for belonging.
No, you're right. Like, I think the storytelling in it is fantastic.
Yeah.
The animation is next level. It's like, so this good. Is a more recent, it's not the most recent, but it's
2019
from this pretty... team. It is, yeah, it's pretty new for for stop motion animation. And I think they just take it to the next level of this. I know there's some digital animation mixed in,
yeah,
but it's like seamless to me.
Yeah.
And if you guys are interested, if you go to the Academy Museum in LA, you can see some of the models this film, which they're bigger than you think, but you can see like on Mr. Link's fur, like they had to make all that fur.
Yeah.
And so when you see a scene of him like running and his fur's blowing in the wind, like they had to hand make that. Like that's not easy.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that the story is so charming and sweet and the animation, like there's love in that even.
Yeah.
So I think that's all like really attractive to me. And then also the fact that like I feel like a lot of like the well-known popular found footage films have like a darker vibe. like Corpse Bride.
You said found footage again. About?
No way.
You said found footage films are darker? I'm like, yeah, they are.
This podcast is ruining this podcast is ruining my brain. Like I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. I just my eyes are just glued to the TV.
Yeah.
Which is why you guys should share our podcast with your friends so we can make money doing this maybe someday. No, but like usually stop motion films are kind of darker. So think Coraline, Paranorman. Those are all very like gothic and dark. This is like sunny,
even the recent Pinocchio movie
fun
was still relatively dark.
That's Del Toro.
Yeah, but still, it's like we don't see a lot of like. I mean, even James and the Giant Peach. Then that's such a dark style.
It's very dark. Yeah, and this is not. This is like happy-go-lucky. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Loved it. Okay, dislikes. What do you got?
I really don't have any dislikes. Like, I can't think of a single one. I mean, I don't think it's a perfect film. It doesn't completely fire on all cylinders for me, mm-hmm. but it is very close to being my one of my favorite. Like, it's on the list. You know?
For sure.
And I think this is one you can watch with your family.
Yeah, it's a good family
film. You're going to have a good time. I really don't have any issues with it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe some of the jokes could have landed a little bit better if I had to critique. But most of them do land for me. Yeah. So.
Well, it was funny is because I watched The Wolf of Snow Hollow right before I watched Missing Link. So I already had a bad taste in my mouth of like poor jokes. And I was just like looking for the jokes in this movie to be so bad. But they were honestly so smart. Like, I loved the writing in this to another level of where it's, like, an enjoyable film for kids, but it's also, like, you catch a lot of the
adult.
It's
kind of like a buddy cop.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, really. And so I really enjoyed the writing in this. I'm going to say my dislike is Hugh Jackman. I'm getting tired.
What about him?
I'm getting tired of Hugh Jackman playing the same guy. In these family movies, he's just wanting to be accepted. His voice is—it's almost like he was playing P.T. Barnum in Missing Link to a certain level, and I liked Missing Link. I didn't love him.
Came first.
No. Greatest Showman came out.
I just don't like the Greatest Showman. I know. I've said this so many times.
Yeah, I don't know. That was my only dislike, but that's it. I mean, I love Hugh Jackman. I'm so excited for him in Deadpool 3, but this for me wasn't it for him. But overall, I mean, I can't find anybody else that could do a good role or play a good, like, Sir Lionel Frost. So they casted properly.
A lot of people could have, like, Ryan Reynolds could have been a...
No, but then he would have stole the show. I mean, Zach Galifianakis is the reason why you're watching this movie.
That's true, and I can't even say his last name. I'm losing it today, bro.
You really are.
he really does steal the show, actually. Yeah. Like, he's so good in this.
Okay, scare factor. Let's say it on the count of three. One, two, three, zero.
Two.
Oh, okay. I'll probably give it a one.
Think about it, dude.
But hear me out.
Let me paint the picture. You're in the woods. It's quiet, right? It's quiet.
But you're describing maybe a Sasquatch, not even a Missing Link.
Well, no. And you hear Zach Galifianakis. You hear him in the distance. You hear his laugh. No, you were pooping. You hear his laugh, yeah. And then he emerges, and it's his hairy beast. That's scary.
Okay, I'll give it a one.
thank you.
But guys, that will conclude the movie watching portion of Monster Madness. We are so happy that you were able to come alongside us and listen to these movies and review them for yourself, watch them yourself. I do say the end of the movie portion because we are going to be finishing Monarch next week. We're just going to blow through the rest of the season finish out with Godzilla. So that's going to be great. And then, guys, we have another amazing month for you. Wow, I'm losing it too. We have another amazing month for you in April. A24 April, guys. It is going to be hot. We have, I think we're doing for A12. We're doing about 16 movies for April.
It's a lot. I'm going to have to start today.
Yeah, we're doubling the movies. Guys, we are excited for April coming up. Thank you so much again for buying the shirts and the hats. We hope you enjoy them. They are comfortable. We love them. So big shout out to Heather again. But guys, we still got many months to come of content, so we're really just kind of getting started here. So we hope you're enjoying it. Please send in your suggestions. Give us a 5-star review if you think we have earned it. And feel free to comment in our socials and tell us what you think and tell us what you want to hear and watch next. So other than that, we will see you next week for the finale of Monarch.
That's a clean slate.